What the Apostle Paul has said and what talks about, as well as a few other things. I'm not going to be spending just probably next week only, maybe a couple of weeks thereafter. I may have another subject matter concerning the Passover. Passover is kind of a time when we should reflect back on and remember not only what took place many, many years ago, but also how it directly affects us into our world, into our life, and where we are at today. So just keep it ready for next week. We're going to go through some of the things that Apostle Paul talked about and maybe have expounding and do some, intercommunication with one another, I guess is the word I want to use, to be where we can have a message. Now, some of you have been, we're going to talk about a little bit about the history, okay, of where we have been, that is, Ellie, myself, as well as people have been here longer than we have, of how things have changed and how we observe things and what was the change and why was the change necessary. And so we can kind of take a look and say, okay, where we are at today. One thing we have all, and all of you have done, is you've changed the things in your life from the time of the first time you understand God. A lot of things have been cast out, and it's been very good to be cast out. And sometimes you don't know what to replace it with, but best thing is cast things out and then figure out what to replace it with much later. And that's my subject matter we're going to talk about next week. But today, we're going to go through Leviticus, the 19th chapter and the 20th chapter.
And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols, nor make for yourselves molded gods. I am the Lord your God. And if you offer a sacrifice of a peace offering to the Lord, you shall offer it of your own free will. It shall be eaten the same day you offer it, and on the next day. And if any remains until the third day, it shall be burned in the fire. And if it is eaten at all on the third day, it is an abomination. It shall not be accepted. Therefore, everyone who eats it shall bear his iniquity, because he has profaned the hallowed offering of the Lord, and that person shall be cut off from his people. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. And you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not cheat your neighbor, nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not retain with you all night until morning. You shall not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. You shall keep my statutes. You shall not let your livestock breed with another kind. You shall not sow your field with mixed seed, nor shall a garment of mixed linen and wool come upon you. Whoever lies carnally with a woman who is betrothed to a man as a concubine, and who has not at all been redeemed nor given her freedom, for this there shall be scourging, but they shall not be put to death, because she was not free. And he shall bring his trespass offering to the Lord, to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, a ram as a trespass offering. The priest shall make atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering before the Lord for his sin which he has committed, and the sin which he has committed shall be forgiven him. When you come into the land and have planted all kinds of trees for food, then you shall count their fruit as uncircumcised. 3 years it shall be as uncircumcised to you. It shall not be eaten. But in the 4th year, all its fruit shall be holy, a praise to the Lord. And in the 5th year, you may eat its fruit, that it may yield to you its increase. I am the Lord your God. You shall not eat anything with the blood, nor shall you practice divination or soothsaying. You shall not shave around the sides of your head, nor shall you disfigure the edges of your beard. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor tattoo any marks on you. I am the Lord. Do not prostitute your daughter to cause her to be a harlot, lest the land fall into harlotry and the land become full of wickedness. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them, to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man, and fear your God. I am the Lord. And if a stranger dwells with you in your land, you shall not mistreat him. The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. You shall do no injustice in judgment, in measurement of length, weight, or volume. You shall have honest scales, honest weights, an honest ephah, and an honest hin. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe all my statutes and all my judgments and perform them. I am the Lord. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Again, you shall say to the children of Israel, Whoever of the children of Israel or of the strangers who dwell in Israel, who gives any of his descendants to Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I will set my face against that man, and will cut him off from his people, because he has given some of his descendants to Molech, to defile my sanctuary and profane my holy name. And if the people of the land should in any way hide their eyes from the man, when he gives some of his descendants to Molech, and they do not kill him, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and I will cut him off from his people, and all who prostitute themselves with him to commit harlotry with Molech. And the person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute himself with them, I will set my face against that person and cut him off from his people. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes and perform them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. For everyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him. The man who commits adultery with another man's wife, he who commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. The man who lies with his father's wife has uncovered his father's nakedness. both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man lies with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have committed perversion. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man marries a woman and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burned with fire, both he and they, that there may be no wickedness among you. If a man mates with an animal, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall kill the animal. If a woman approaches any animal and mates with it, you shall kill the woman and the animal. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood is upon them. If a man takes his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and sees her nakedness, and she sees his nakedness, it is a wicked thing, and they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He has uncovered his sister's nakedness. He shall bear his guilt. If a man lies with a woman during her sickness and uncovers her nakedness, he has exposed her flow, and she has uncovered the flow of her blood. Both of them shall be cut off from their people. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister, nor of your father's sister, for that would uncover his near of kin. They shall bear their guilt. If a man lies with his uncle's wife, he has uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sin. They shall die childless. If a man takes his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He has uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless. You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and perform them, that the land where I am bringing you to dwell may not vomit you out. And you shall not walk in the statutes of the nation which I am casting out before you. For they commit all these things, and therefore I abhor them. But I have said to you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it to you to possess, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord, your God, who has separated you from the peoples. You shall therefore distinguish between clean animals and unclean, between unclean birds and clean, and you shall not make yourselves abominable by beast or by bird or by any kind of living thing that creeps on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. You shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine. A man or a woman who is a medium or who has familiar spirits shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them.
Pretty harsh stuff, isn't it? Do you think God's means business? Yeah, he means business. Okay, before we begin, I'm going to make a few comments. The 19th chapter is quite heavy also in the 18th chapter, where the repetition of certain words repeat themselves over and over. I am Yahuwah, your Elohim, am holy. Verse 2. Verse 3. I am Yahuwah, your Elohim. Verse 4. I am Yahuwah, your Elohim. Verse 10. I am Yahuwah, your Elohim. Verse 12. Your Elohim, I am Yahuwah. Your Elohim. Verse 14. I am Yahuwah. Verse 16. I am Yahuwah. Verse 18. I am Yahuwah. So you can kind of get a picture here. So you get the impression that what he's talking about is really not an idea. This is a way of life. And sometimes, because we, in our world, we look at these, what he's making these statements for, and we sometimes think God is not a merciful God. He is a man or an individual or a being that is full of death, destruction, and talks about abomination and casting people out left and right, cutting them off, not having anything to do with them. Pretty harsh, don't you think? Okay. Let's just talk for a moment on the 19th chapter. What is it that you see in the 19th chapter? What is it referring to? What is it talking about? Please be free to express your ideas and your thoughts.
It says, you shall not eat anything with blood, neither shall you use enchantments, nor observe times. What does that last statement mean, observe times? What times?
Of 26. You will not practice deviation or soothsaying. That's the last part of it, right?
Times.
Don't have that in this translation. What do you have in yours?
I have King James.
Okay. What is it? Read it. Whole thing.
It says, you shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall you use enchantment, nor observe times.
Okay. Fortune teller, another way of calling a soothsayer or deviation, someone who is predicting times, living in... Oh, no, not that kind of stuff, you know. They have a comment over there.
Yeah, the horoscopes or astrology is basically what a soothsaying is. You know, what's, you're going to meet some tall, dark, and handsome guy, and he's going to make you millions of dollars and give you this whole wonderful rate if you pay me $20.
How many, you know, with Daniel's comment, how many people live their life based upon the horoscope? Don't raise your hand, please, but internally, how often have you done it? Don't raise your hand. Okay, so she wants a question.
Well, even if people who don't, quote, live their lives by the horoscope,
right?
Most, I'd say 99% of people know what their sign is, for example. You know that, I'm born in this month, so I'm this sign. Most people know that. And they're published in every newspaper. You open up the newspaper, you'll find the horoscopes for every single sign, this kind of thing. So, you know, people know what their signs are. Most people do. It's printed, blah, 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 and people read them. And even people who don't think that they believe in them, those things are written so generally that it makes it easy for people to believe in them.
Yeah. Okay. Any other comments? Well, go ahead.
I was wondering about verse 17 of chapter 19. It says, thou shalt not hate thy brother in your heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Is that translated correctly?
Speak a little louder. I'm having a hard time hearing today.
It says you shall rebuke your neighbor.
Oh, yeah.
And not suffer sin upon him.
What does rebuke mean?
Well.
Correct.
Correct.
But that's as far as it goes. All right. I'll give an example. For my neighbor corrected me. It was some years ago. I was thinking about what I was supposed to do, so I got my lawnmower out there at 7 o'clock in the morning. And you know what he said? I mean, that wasn't kind of words coming out of his mouth. He was cussing me up one side, down the other. By the time a good 5 minutes yelling at me, and I said, I apologize, sir, you're correct. He rebuked me, okay, because I was wrong. Didn't consider my neighbor at all. I want to get my job done. And, you know, it's one of those things, and... That's what you do, You know, so, but in religiously wise, the same concept, okay? When someone has got something or done something, in this particular book, 19th chapter, we had to find out what he's talking about when he says to rebuke your neighbor. All right? There are a lot of things in this 19th chapter to correct or to tell your neighbor you've got it wrong, okay? Not because you think it's wrong, but because you know the Word of God. Yes?
Well, I just, it made me think of something. There's a particular issue that has been coming up for me a lot recently. I had a very long conversation with somebody a few weeks ago about the fact that there have been some personal issues that have cropped up in people we know, and a lot of things are going unsaid. You know, there's been hurt and pain, and people are not being honest. And one of the things that I got out of the conversation is that I know we have to be careful how we speak to people, but at the same time, when we're not honest, when we have been hurt or when we have seen something that causes us to be disappointed in someone, it creates a breeding ground for bitterness and resentment.
Right.
And I just thought that with this verse, it's very interesting that God starts out by saying, do not hate your brother in your heart.
Correct.
And then proceeds with, rebuke them and don't suffer sin on them.
Yeah.
To me, that just was a direct connection.
Okay. And when the Messiah said something, the 18th chapter, if I'm thinking, if I got wrong, of Matthew, when a brother has done something against you, what are you supposed to go? Go tell him, and you're rebuking him for the wrong he's done. Okay. God doesn't expect you not to do that. He expects you to do that. Okay? And of course, if he doesn't comply, then when you go to the ecclesia and so on and so forth. There are two or three more witnesses. So basically, this is what this is all about. If someone has done something against you. Now, let's backtrack just a little bit. Verse 16 tells you something. Okay? I'm going to read it here. You shall not go about a talebearer among your people. You shall not take a stand against the life of your neighbor. Now, the next verse is connected directly to the 16th chapter. You know what I'm saying? 16th verse. Someone has talebearing, telling a lie, telling something that's not true. Now, you've got to go to your... Don't hate the person who is telling a lie or who is... who is doing the harm. Don't take sides. Okay? Now, what should you do? Don't hate your brother. Go and rebuke him for telling or made a talebearer. That's what that two verses are connected. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. So we look at it from that point of view. Now, let's backtrack a little bit. Well, actually, we'll go forward a little bit, maybe. Let me take a look here. Let's move forward just a little bit. I could find it here real quickly. Okay, let's go to verse 11. We kind of understand, okay, the commandments here, thou shalt not steal. But here he says something different here. A specific way, saying something that we need to kind of look at and say, what is he really trying to do? Why does he have to repeat this again? Because what happens, people says, thou shalt not steal, that's the commandment, right? Now he's going to expound on what he means by that. He says, and it says here, or he read it here, deal falsely. In Hebrew, that means don't lie. And the very next one in his translation has it, says, nor lie to one another. In Hebrew, don't cheat one another. Now see, there's one is a false bearer, or one is telling falsely, and he says, don't thou steal. Okay, in relationship to stealing, okay, don't not rob. What do you mean don't? Don't deal falsely. Don't come up with some kind of fairy tale thing and to take something from your brother or from somebody because you're clever with words, and don't cheat them. Don't maneuver, because cheating, see, there's no commandment that says thou shalt not cheat, so thou shalt not steal. So expounding it on, when you cheat, it's the same thing as stealing. So he's clarifying, expounding this thing. Very, very important. And then we go in the next very next verse, He said, you shall not swear by my name. Okay. You shall not, that's the Greek, the false word, the Hebrew word, you will not cheat by using my name. Because that's the Hebrew word that says falsely there in that word. In Hebrew it means cheat. Do not use my name to cheat your neighbor. Okay? That's what it basically boils down to. So we're seeing here in the 19th chapter something a little bit different that we need to probably take a little bit closer look at and assume that we maybe will understand it. And here God expounds farther and farther and farther into what he really is trying to get across. How many times do they have to tell it? What parts of the we go through so many times in the law, he repeats himself several times, but he expounds his sayings even farther than it once was. Now, Messiah came on the scene, and you remember, I do think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. And we some here expand the full meaning of what it really means. And then the continuation of that chapter, he expands the meaning, including about hating. Well, you call somebody? Uh-oh, you're in trouble, okay? And he says, do not hate. So he expounded, magnified, as you say, what was already written in the 19th chapter of Leviticus. You understand what I'm saying? Hope I didn't lose anybody on that. Now, the big thing about this thing, verse 13 here, I'm going to read it again. Thou shalt not, and it says cheat. That's a different word now again in Hebrew, not the word cheat. It means you will not defraud either. So God is using all these terminology about stealing. You're not going to use clever words. You're not going to cheat. You're not going to use my name to cheat people with. And you're not going to defraud anybody. Those are all in the realms of. And the next one down there says, or rob him. Read that in your text. In Hebrew it means you will not strip him. You know what you mean by stripping? Slowly taking this and stripping away all that he has little by little. And he says, well, I didn't steal. Well, yes, he did. That's the magnification of do not steal. That's what we're seeing here in the 19th chapter. And he uses this phrase, I am Elohim. I am Yahweh. I am your Elohim. And he uses words over and over and over again, and extensively in the 18th chapter we learned last time. And that this is the reason why you do it, because who he is. All right? You don't do it because you're going to get caught. And here we find that sometimes, even if you do something and no one catches you, what does he say? I am going to do something. What is he going to do? Cut you off. So we can probably try to see if we can't outmaneuver somebody. But he says, I am your Elohim. I am Yahuwah, your Elohim. You do these things, I will cut you off. Pretty powerful words, right? So you got a picture here. You've heard me say this before. That when we look at what God is leading them to, okay, he wants these people to understand something. What does he want them to understand? You will live by what I am telling you to live by. A very authoritative person, right? God's very powerful. To such an extent, he expects you to carry out his orders, including the execution. Pretty heavy stuff, isn't it? And we do our very best. Now, you have to be careful, make sure the accusations later on, it goes into detail. But make sure you know that person really did do that. Make sure you know that person really is guilty. Make sure that person really did do it. You must have some witnesses. You must have some evidence before you can execute it. And it always tells you that it's the judges to do the decision of the final decision. So it's not based upon you as an individual. It must come before the congregation, if they use that word, or in the case of a government, before the judges who are responsible for the nation of Israel, or in our country, the judges that we have in our courts. They are the ones that make that decision. We ourselves don't go up and say, well, we're going to have to slay you because God says we have to slay you. No, you take it before the courts, let the courts do the job. God did not say we get to do this by ourselves.
And if the courts refuse to hear it, it's on their heads, not on yours.
That's correct. It's on the leader. The Word of God even says that. How do we know it? It says in this chapter, right? Or the next chapter, I can't remember what it was. About Moloch, right? And if you hide it from, then guess what? You're going to be held accountable. But how do you find this out? You go before those who will prove it out. And if you are found to be in agreement with, you yourself will be in trouble. You have to go to someone who has the position. You must tell them that someone is giving something to Moloch, basically the children going through fire. I have not gone into that concept. It's not important right now. But we must do this. You can't go up and tell. You don't tell a bunch of people, so-and-so did, and have a bunch of people coming together as a group, become a mob, going before and saying, okay, now we have rights to kill you. You don't do that. Because that's kind of what you say, using words to your advantage, so you have an upper hand. Still, you can't do that. You must go before evidence. Evidence has to be brought before anything that's been accused. We have that part in our country, and we have this thing. Now, as we go through these things, going back now, Carrie, to the 16th and 17th verse there, the 18th verse is very, very important. Now, I don't want to insult anybody, but here he says, you will do something to your neighbor. What are you going to do? Love your neighbor as yourself. Here, he tells you how to love your neighbor as yourself. He's not talking about embracing them and giving a big huge hug and kiss and saying, glory, hallelujah. No, he's saying when somebody has done this, a talebearer has come in, has done you harm, and you went to rebuke him, now he says, do not take vengeance. Oh, wait a minute. I'm just supposed to love my neighbor as myself. No, this is how you love your neighbor as yourself. You do not take vengeance, nor do you bear grudges. Ooh, it's heavy, isn't it? Now, I ask myself a question. If someone has done something against me, I have to stop and think for a moment. Do I want to be vindicated? Everybody wants to be vindicated, you know. I didn't do anything wrong. That person accused me of this. What if it doesn't happen in your favor? Now stop and think for just a moment. Love them as yourself. Would you like, if you have done the tale-bearing, you have spoken contrary to the truth about somebody, either behind their back or in front of their face, whatever it may be, how would you like for them to treat you? For them to get vengeance back on you? For them to be build grudges against you? You like people grudging you? You like people not liking you? You like people having something against you? How do you then therefore love your neighbor who has just got through tail-bearing? How do you treat him? You're not to hate him. How do you avoid hating him? You don't take vengeance and you don't grudge. That's how you love your neighbor. How do you get rid of it? You get rid of it. You stop and don't want or desire vengeance. This is what that verse says, right? It's not just, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, the second greatest law, right? However, the Messiah is quoting this one, and he's referring to something has happened which could cause you to hate your brother, right? And you should have grounds to take him to court and get vengeance back, or get even with them, right? You have the grounds, right? And what happens when you don't win? What are you supposed to do? Well, this is what the 19th chapter is all about. This is what this particular verse leads to. See, sometimes we take, and when the Messiah says, okay, second greatest commandment is to love thy neighbor as thyself, we say, okay, I got it. Okay, what else is new? When you go back and read where he got it from, then we have a picture of saying, oh, I'm not supposed to hate. Well, I got that. I don't hate my brother. God, that's great. But he spoke evil against me. What am I supposed to do about that? I'm going to hold a grudge against him. Oh, I love my brother, but I can't stand you. Right? Well, if God says no. Is that a hard bill, a hard thing to bite into? He said it is narrow. This way is narrow. And it's very difficult. So whenever you think about loving your neighbor as yourself, go back to this chapter. Find out what it's really telling you. We have a talebearer against you. What are you going to do about it? Somebody doesn't like you. What are you going to do about it? Somebody doesn't like your personality. What are you going to do about it? Someone doesn't like the way you comb your hair. What are you going to do about it? Come back here. Do you love another than yourself? You shall have to also say, I will not. I have a personality conflict with somebody. I myself will not hate them. I will not get even with them. I will not speak falsely about them. I will not tell somebody this person is a... I can't stand that person because that person is always doing this and always doing that, always doing this. Those are talebearers. This is very important in the 19th chapter, right? We have to look at it and say, how does this apply to my Christianity? How does it apply to my world? And it's really heavy. And believe it or not, it's a difficult law to obey. Our natural instinct is vengeance. Our natural instinct is, I'm holding this against you until the day you die, or I die, you know. You can do that, can't you? All due respect, but someone does not understand the word of God. I have met a lot of people who have held a grudge against mom, dad, uncle, aunt, cousin for the rest of their life and have died with that grudge in their life. I speak that of my own mother. That's hard. And when I look at myself, and you have to look at yourself, and you have to say, no, I am not going to hold this against them. It's a very personal attack here, right? Bearing false witness to you, bearing lies about you, you could, with grudging, hold them all the way until the end of your death. Because if they die in the process, you'll probably still hold the grudge, even though they're dead and buried and rotting in the grave. You still have resentment against that person. And generally it has to do more with family members or associated family members than it does with somebody in New York who doesn't like me and I don't know who they are. And they speak evil against me and say, yeah, okay. Doesn't issue me. Doesn't that part of my world. But personally speaking, we all have people. I've always had people. We always will have people who will hold a grudge against us. It is us that must not hold against them. Now, understand what I'm saying here? This is how powerful this chapter is. Let's continue on with this chapter. Hope I get through what I want to talk to you about. Not that they're not important, but I don't want to go to... This very fascinating thing, verse 33. There is coming up. And it says, if a stranger dwells with you in your land, you shall not do something. What is it you should not do? Mistreat him. He's not a second-class citizen. At all. Pretty heavy stuff, isn't it? Verse 34. The stranger who dwells among you, you shall be to you as one what? Born among you. But he wasn't born among us. He's born over there. What? What does the eternal creator says? And you shall what? Love him as yourself. Oh, wait a minute. He came in illegally. I'm going to hold against him. Who are you? I'm being blunt with you. You have to stop and think, why is it that he broke this down? Well, he says why. Remember what it was? Because you were a stranger in another country, in another land, and you were not treated as one that was born there. How do you remember how that felt? Remember, I am bringing these strangers in to your midst. What I have said to you will apply to them as well. They have to live in the same rules, same law, same conduct. They can't live outside that conduct. Because those who want to live with you, want to live amongst you, they will then do the law. I'm not saying the enemy can't come in and deliberately upset the thing. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those who want to dwell among you, live among you. You know, it's kind of heavy stuff, isn't it? Here the eternal says, how are we supposed to treat them? Why? I am Yahuwah, your Elohim. That's why. You need any other reason? Not with God, you don't. Chapter 20. Any comments about chapter 20? Got to remember what it was. Got to go back and look at it again and say, what was that? That do with them what? Stone people to death for what? What does it mean by giving your descendants to Moloch? Moloch, by the way, is the same exact identical meaning as Melech. You cannot separate the meaning in Hebrew. They both mean king. Okay? You can't separate them and say what means over there, over here. But this is a different king, right? As the king of whom? Well, maybe you don't know this. As the king of the Amorites. Amorites? That's who the king is. Now, is God talking about a physical king? He says he is the king of Israel, right? Is God physical or is God spiritual? So when we're talking about Moloch, we're talking about another being. And that particular being has people do certain things to prove their loyalty unto Moloch. And he says, if you have anybody that does that, stone them to death. Don't allow that in your world. He names off an awful lot of things. Verse 7, he says, consecrate yourself, therefore, and be holy, for I am your Elohim. Verse 8, and you shall keep my statutes and perform them. I am Yahuwah who sanctifies you. Okay. it goes showing off a lot of these things of sexual relationship again. Right? Talk about worshiping Moloch. Talk about all those things. Now, in the latter part of this chapter, I want you to go. Talks about being childless. Talk about this woman and that woman, how they do things and all that. All the things that he said before, okay? But where is he taking them? Verse 22 of 20th chapter. He says, "You shall therefore keep my statutes and all my judgments and perform them, that the land where I am bringing you to dwell may not vomit you out." Very important. Verse 22. "You shall not walk in the statutes of the nations which I am casting out before you, for there they commit all these things, therefore I abhor you." So when you read the 20th chapter, you see all those interrelationships that have men with men with animals, women with animals. He's casting them out. Now he's warning these people before they go in, do not do their statutes. Do not do their commandments. Do not do as they do. If you do, I am going to vomit you out. Pretty strong statements, right? Now he says it's a land of milk and honey. Sounds good, doesn't it? Verse 24, latter part. "I am Yahuwah your Elohim who has separated you from the peoples that I am going to take you to." You remember some of the things about Israel when they left Egypt? And lo and behold, they were delivered out of a house of bondage. Remember? That's what the commandment says. Go back to the Ten Commandments. The first thing he says, "I am the one that led you out of bondage." Okay? Then we come, and he says, he gave them his statutes, he gave them his laws, he gave his judgments, and he's correcting them before they get in there and tell them how they should live, how they should conduct their life. To do my judgments, do my statutes, do my commandments, and the land will be land of milk and honey. However, if you don't, I'm going to vomit you out. And so we have here that I am separating you. You shall therefore, verse 25, distinguish between clean animals and unclean, between birds and clean, and you shall not make yourself abominable by beast or by bird or by any kind of living thing that creeps on the ground, which I have separated you as unclean. Oh, now we go in the land of milk and honey, right? Let me ask you a question. When Israel left the land of Egypt, what did they miss?
They missed the food.
What else was their complaint? Water, okay. They said, "You should not have brought us out. We were doing just fine there. It was better there than where we're at now." Right? That's what their complaint was. "Our life was better. We had homes. We had cattle. We had family. We had friends. Why are you
Well, you bring us out here just to kill us?
Remember those are complaints?
They didn't like the lifestyle that they found themselves in, did they? They didn't like it at all. However, He, God, the Creator of heaven and earth, is taking them into a land called the land of Canaan, which by its very nature is filthy, unclean, abomination to God. All that they do is abominable to me. And God didn't send them into a land of milk and honey where there is no abomination, where there's no corruption, where there's no hardship. He didn't give them a land where one can have, oh, a wonderful evening with your meal with your mom and dad or family get together. No, you had to go in there and you had to clean all that stuff up. How would you like to be? I can't say. You had to go into a country. God sends you into a country. Unwillingly on your part, by the way. That way you want to go. That where you want to be. But He sends you there anyway. And of course, it's not the most wonderful city. Doesn't have running water. Doesn't have toilets. Has pollution. Everything is corrupted. Filthy. And you're supposed to be amongst these people. What are you supposed to do? How would you like to live amongst the people who are just obnoxious to you? Would you like that? No. Where did God send them? To a bunch of people that was obnoxious. They weren't, the Israelites were not that way in Egypt. They didn't live like the Canaanites. They were just in bondage. Now you really study the book of Exodus, and you realize that they knew who God was. They knew who the Creator of heaven and earth was. They didn't forget about Him. They knew who He was. Remember the women who were supposed to kill the babies? Many years later, didn't do so because why? They knew who the Creator of heaven was. Remember that story? And Moses told God, if I go back to them, they're going to say, what's his name? But you're going to believe me if I don't tell you. Okay, this is my name. They went back, told him his name, and they said, okay. They didn't say, huh? Never heard of that. What did he say? What was that? Nah, it's not God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No, that's not his name. He had to go back and tell them the name. Why? Because they already knew it. They already knew it. They knew what it meant. Otherwise, Moses wouldn't have had to say that word, right? They're not going to believe me. I want to tell them who you are. They told him who he is. And they went back. He told them, by the way, who is Yahweh, Yahuwah, whatever you want to call him. Sent me, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is okay. And they began to hear him. So even in that generation that he went back to, God was not a foreign thing to them. They knew who the Creator of heaven and earth was. So we are at this point now, and we learn from something at this 20th chapter. Remember the first three chapters of Leviticus? It was explaining something, explaining the purposes of or definitions of what each one of those offerings that he was given. Then we continue on the 4th, the 5th, the 6th chapter. We start finding a little more detail of who gives what offering at what time. Not just any time, but at a specific time. And we continue on. We learn in the book of Leviticus about all of the holy days, all mentioned, one right after the other. Then we come to a very unusual place. Just prior to the 16th chapter, which the 16th chapter is about what?
Remember what 16th chapter is about? Atoning the whole nation of Israel. But something happened before that. You remember what happened before that? Aaron and his four sons were sanctified inside the tabernacle. They didn't leave that area. And two of the sons were killed because they did something that is strange. Not strange, weird. They didn't do it in order. They were going to do something out of order. God is a God of perfection, right? And so what he had to teach the priesthood, especially Aaron and his family, was this is how you are going to run my priesthood. Don't deviate it on any point at all. Stay with what I have taught you. And for 7 days, they did. Right? Then on the 8th day came, and the two sons did something they should not have done. And they were killed on the 8th day. It's almost like the priesthood had to be circumcised in order to be holy. Wow. I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm saying it's almost like it would have to be. I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm saying kind of parallel here, unusual thing that's happened on the 8th day of their sanctification or removal of something. I don't know what the two sons did. All it says is that they brought, quote, strange fire, end of quote. Doesn't explain it, doesn't go into detail, but got rid of it. Something was not right. Then we move into the 16th chapter, which had to do with atonement. The whole thing, atonement. I read it last 2 weeks ago, what it was, about how many times the word atonement is in that chapter. More than any place else. That chapter is full of atonement. It always takes blood to atone. He also said, it always takes blood to atone. So now that atonement has taken place, and they've got the picture, they've gone through the Day of Atonement, or they're going to be taught about the Day of Atonement, they understand that picture. And then we have chapter 17, 18, 19, and 20. Wow. After I have atoned you, this is how I want you to live. This is how I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. This is how, when I move you into the land of milk and honey, there's tremendous amount of things that it's horrible. I can't stand it. And I'm going to get rid of them. I want you to know who I am. Who am I? I am Yahweh, your Elohim. Keep my statutes when you go into that land. Keep my judgments when you go into that land. Keep my commandments when you go in that land. It's an interesting approach, right? He's leading this. This is a story or a process of from the beginning of explaining what the sacrifices are all about, all the way to this point, and saying, you know, remember, I am purging them out, and I told you all the things that I want you to live by, because that's where you're going. You're going to be in a land of people who do just exactly what I abhor. I want you not to listen to their statutes.